Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we ask that you grant us wisdom and patience in our daily lives, so that we may better serve you and continue to make ourselves worthy of your blessings. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters, today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. As I mentioned two Sundays ago, the word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning the coming or the arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is especially a more well-known day. It's known as Christmas Eve. And the children, especially mine, are waiting, and they're feeling antsy. They want to get to the presents that they believe that they've earned because of their good behavior. While we, as Christians, feel that same antsy way as we wait for baby Jesus to be born and to bring us salvation. Amen? Today's gospel shows us that we're not the only ones waiting for the salvation that Jesus has to offer. Today's gospel lets us know that salvation is coming down the line, and we better be getting ourselves ready for it. Today's gospel starts off with the statement, "This is the record of John." The scripture is not talking about John the Apostle. It's talking about John the Baptist. Now, the first thing that might have come to your mind is, who is John the Baptist? The scripture describes John a number of times throughout the New Testament. In Luke 1, verse 15, it says that John would be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. John was born through the power of God in his intervention. John's father, Zechariah, was a priest, and he was told by the angel Gabriel, that he would have a son, and he was to name him John. You see, up until John was born, Zechariah and Elizabeth, that was John's mother, they were childless. The scripture doesn't tell us exactly how old they were, but it says that they were well advanced in years, and that Elizabeth was barren. In the Bible, if you were infertile, if you were barren, it was believed that you had upset God in some way, and that he was punishing you. An example of this can be seen in Genesis 30, verse 23, when Rachel, who was the wife of Jacob, had become pregnant. And she said, "God has taken away my disgrace." John 1, verses 6 through 8 tells us that John was sent by God to be a forerunner of Jesus. It says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." John's ministry was one of direction. His mission was to direct all of God's children to repent. so that the kingdom of heaven would be available to them. John was also described in John 5, verse 35, as being a burning and shining lamp. He was a passionate man who wholeheartedly believed that God had told him that Jesus was coming and that he was to pave the way for him. See, John put his all into his assigned ministry. If there was a way to say that a person had faith and then some more, that would be how I imagine others that knew him would most likely have described his faith. Rather than simply saying, you need to have faith, or believe me, because I went to seminary, I went to Bible school, I read the Bible. John actually gave reasons as to why he should be believed. He included his own personal testimony, stories of miracles, and words that were taken from the scripture as examples of the salvation that would be offered by Jesus when he came. And once you repented. See, I'm hoping that I gave y'all just a slight inkling of who John was. Now, I want to get back to today's scripture, and this time, I want you to put yourself in John's shoes. Because I'm sure that in the case of today's gospel, we've all been there. Have you ever been in a situation where there's a person that you're talking to, and no matter what, they either wouldn't hear what you were saying, or they just refused to understand what you were saying, as if you were speaking some foreign language? That's the issue that John was having in today's gospel. The Pharisees sent priests and Levites to question John because they needed to know exactly who John was. He was causing a problem by rallying people toward Jesus and God by way of repentance. And the investigators, because that's what I would like to call them, needed to find out who he was so that they can give an answer, so that they can give a report to the ones that had sent him. And because of that, they were demanding answers in a spitfire manner. They asked who he was. They thought that he was Jesus. Or better yet, that he was the Messiah. But he said straight out the gate, I am not the Christ. They asked him, was he Elias? He said, no. Then they asked if he was the prophet, the one prophesied to come after Moses. And again, he said, no. Then they asked, since he wasn't anyone that they had named, who art thou? What sayest thou of thyself? To this he gave, at least to me, the most mind-blowing answer possible. When he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. What does that mean? What does that really mean? You see, John knew his role in life. His job was to provide the way. for Jesus. He was born to let the world know that Jesus was coming and that everyone needed to stop doing what they were doing. They needed to repent. They needed to give up their sinful ways and try to do right. He was sent to clear the path and let everyone know that they needed to clear the path. As a matter of fact, that same biblical verse was taken word for word from the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3. Sometimes people, when they're in the process of doing something, they tend to start thinking of their own importance. They start elevating themselves to a level that they're not supposed to be. They start thinking that what they're doing is about them. But that's not the case with John. He knew his role and his position in the grand scheme of God's universe. He knew that he was not the Messiah, that he was not Jesus, and didn't offer any pretense to being him. He was not the focus of the ministry. Jesus was. John said to them, "There standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose." In plain English, whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to tie. That was a job of the lowliest servant. The investigators wanted to know who John was, but John let them know that it's not about who he was. It's about someone else, and John let them know that because of the majesty, the royalty, the power of God, even he wasn't worthy to tie the Messiah's shoe. And what makes this a powerful statement is that John was not one of your average, run-of-the-mill ministers. He was a man that was blessed by God from birth. As a matter of fact, he was blessed before he was born. He was an established minister in the world with a powerful message and a powerful mission. But even a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit wasn't worthy to do that low and menial task. My brothers and sisters, in summary, John was having such an impact in the world as a witness for Jesus that the Pharisees wanted to know exactly who he was. I want you to keep this in mind because we need to model our lives in exactly the same way. Our goal, as well as our mission in life, should cause people to question exactly who we are. That way, just like John, we can direct everyone that we meet to the salvation that Jesus Christ offers to all who take him as their personal Lord and Savior, the same way as I have, and the same way I hope and pray that all of y'all have. Amen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.